Bear Nation, how we doing? This is your host, Rob Napoli, and you are tuning in to another episode of the Bear Necessities Podcast, a podcast where we sit down with entrepreneurs, ecosystem partners, and innovation folks to talk about what it takes to launch, create, and scale businesses across the world. Up, Case, say hi and let them know how to pronounce your last name.
Hi, guys. Rob, nice try. Typical Dutch name, Case Zorge. Glad to be here and actually must state losing my podcast virginity here. So, Rob, very excited.
Well, we're excited to have you on today. For those that don't know, Case is the CEO and founder of a company called Omniboost based out of the Netherlands. Case loves to create and think outside the box, not only when it comes to integrations, but also when building teams and companies as a whole. He is passionate about information technology-based innovation and automation. He believes that there will be a day when we as humans will continue to better leverage the power of automation to help us work smarter. He is convinced that there is a difference between offering a service and being willing to serve. Both principles include giving, but only one is generous enough to be an instrument of change. So I'm really excited to have you on the pod today, Case. Thank you for joining us. Why don't you give us a quick overview of Omniboost so that people know a little bit about the company here?
Yeah, glad to do that, Rob, and super excited to be here. I'm going to be very, very honest because when I thought of Omniboost, I need to be brutally honest, the idea did not stem from luxury. It was a bare necessity. We at first started as being programmers doing interfaces towards e-commerce platforms and touchscreen applications. And we were experiencing a lot of trouble scaling up the system. So I thought of an idea, okay, we need to have a system in place where we can start integrating with a lot faster speed than we were actually doing. Once again, brutally honest, the initial idea did not get that many traction. And whilst being on a golf course, a buddy of mine asked me, how are you doing? And I, well, basically had two go-to routines, either stating I'm really crushing it, which was a blatant lie, or choose to tell the truth. I did go for the latter. And based on that, I got the opportunity, thanks to Marco Hamel and Ronald Dekker, to start using my technology for accounting firms, making sure that legacy systems got connected to accounting platforms. And by accident, and once again, this once more, total honesty, is that I had no grand vision about the hospitality industry. I had sheer luck, came across a PMS system that needed to be integrated with an accounting platform. We pulled it off within a couple of days. People were stating, you guys can't. We actually did. They reviewed. Casey got on a plane, signed his first deal, and 3 years later, here we are. Omniboost Hospitality, Accounting, and Tech, operational 50 countries. We manage like 70 receiving accounting platforms with 26 plus partners and over 1,200 integrations running through our pipelines each day.
That is amazing, right? To hear, okay, we thought we could do something better. We tried it. It didn't quite go the way you planned. And then,
correct.
You know,
through, I was like,
like, oh shit, what are we doing now?
Crap. But, another idea down the drain. Yes.
Yeah. Correct. But what I love about that story, though, is that there's this moment, right, when you're on the golf course and you're talking to a buddy and somebody else says, hey, what about this market? Right. And what I think is really interesting when we think about entrepreneurship, when we think about innovation, is that ideas are going to come from anywhere and everywhere. And if you had decided to go through your normal routine, I am fucking crushing it, right? How many times, and I know this is definitely, it's a US thing, right? And I know in Europe, it's a little bit different culturally, but they start to do this, is that you don't tell people when you're hurting. Hey, how you doing today? Oh, I'm good. No, shit, I'm not good. I just missed the train. I ran late. I'm sweating. I haven't had my coffee yet. I stink and I have to sit in this all day. Like, we don't want to say that we're not okay. Right. And as entrepreneurs, even more so, because people already think you're crazy for starting a business and doing these things. So for many of us and for many out there entrepreneurs, we are afraid to say how we're really doing. But instead, what you did is something I talk all the time. You spoke with intention. Hey, I've done this thing. It's not going the way I thought. And guess what? Boom, light bulb went off for somebody else. And now, you know, amazing success. And one of the biggest lessons that he'll tell you, which is why in his intro we talked about service versus willing to serve, which we're going to get into in it shortly, is that we speak with intention. And when he had that mindset shift to stop bullshit, speaking with intention, push things forward, that's when Omniboost saw huge growth. Coming back to your story. So prior to starting your own, I mean, you started another business, right? You had your company and then you turned it into a product. But before that, you'd spent years in consulting and advising on integrations and the technology. What made you, or I guess, what was your passion to get into the technology world and be thinking about automation, be thinking about how IT-based innovation and automation can change the way we do business? What got you into that from an earlier age?
From an earlier age, well, it's I have no tech background. I'm actually a master in the laws. I studied intellectual property and merger and acquisition, and intended to go and work for a law firm. But I quite soon discovered that being an attorney wasn't cut out for me. So started at a corporate finance agency, and those guys had an investment in an entity that was doing early stage artificial intelligence. And bam, I got hooked immediately. I was like, okay, no more law for case, tech, this is it. So I tried to teach myself as much as possible. I got one lucky break yet again, financial crisis hits. And I really needed to think about, okay, am I going to stay with this corporate finance company or start a business on my own? And decided, okay, now's the time, now or never, and actually started a business. And from there, learned basically all things via internet, Google, self-learning platforms, and gradually starting building team, one developer in, two developers in, support rep in, etc., etc. So that's where the story is. And what I love about tech is that it's never done. What's hip and happening today is ancient dinosaur tech tomorrow. And what you were stating in the intro, I've got quite some energy, what people tell me. So I'm like, okay, woohoo, new stuff, let's go. And yeah, that keeps me going. Yeah,
absolutely. And yes, for those that don't feel it yet, I'm sure it'll come out soon. You know, this is Case's first podcast, so he's probably holding back, but he is.
Yeah, correct.
If not higher energy than I am when we actually do calls together, it is just like who could talk the loudest and the fastest sometimes. I was working in a whole different field, in different spaces, and had this amazing opportunity to work for a startup, and then I was hooked, right? And I was like, wait, I want to learn about this entrepreneurial ecosystem. I want to run my own business someday. And I think for many of us, especially when we think about entrepreneur-minded millennials and Gen Z even further, we were taught at some point, you go to school, you take one step, the next step, and you go up this career path, a ladder, and what you go to school for, you have to do, and it's okay to have non-traditional career paths. It's okay to go to school for something, think you love it, go out into the world and do it and hate it, and then shift. And then shift so fast that you build a company out of it, right? And so that's something that I love to see. So we talk about the business, right? And Omniboost and creating some really cool things. So tell me, you know, the pandemic hit here in 2020.
Yeah.
It's tough on everybody. And you're supporting the hospitality industry. Hospitality went to a grinding halt. Yep. Tell me, how did you retain customers? How did you go about talking to customers? How did you handle your customers? I mean, obviously you're that hurt your business, but tell me about how did your team rally to talk to the customers, or what were some of the challenges you faced with your customers during the pandemic in the hospitality space that went to basically an absolute standstill?
Yep. Yeah. Well, yeah, it was actually the best vertical to be in, hospitality. So we were kind of scared. So, okay, what's going to happen? And okay, how are our customers going to be survived? But I'd like to revert back to your intro. And this is one of our highest values in the company. It's having a willingness to serve and being hospitable. And during COVID, we definitely showed the willingness to serve, to be there for your partners, help out. Using our automation level, though hotels were closed, they still needed to do tax audits. They still needed to do revenue reporting or whatever. So the necessity for an automation and technology like we offer still existed. And basically what we did is we stuck with our partners, either the vendors, so the property management systems or the point of sale systems, and the individual hotels. So basically the only churn that we met were the hotels that couldn't make it, went bankrupt. But actually we grew the business even during the pandemic. It actually showed that the necessity for a product such as OmniBoost, it has a viable product market fit. And it actually relieves our customers. They don't have to focus on the boring part, which is called accounting and nearby technologies, and actually focus on their business and being hospitable and help their customers. So basically offering them a huge ease of mind, I think.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's amazing because to think about this, right? Go through a pandemic, hospitality industry basically shuts down. It'd been really easy for you to throw in the towel. Instead, you went and partnered with all your businesses and clients and said, "Hey, we're here. We have a willingness to serve." And through that, what we saw through the pandemic is something it was very eye-opening. Most product innovation, especially in the software and technology space, has been derivative, and it's small iterations, like another layer. So you're stacking just tech on tech on tech to make every little thing one step faster. It's like, oh, you made this cool product. Let me just like do one other thing to make it one step faster. And when the pandemic hit and we were cutting back on budgets, businesses realized what is necessary technology versus accessory technology. What is a need versus a want or a nice to have? And it showed OmniBoost being not only necessary, but the only churn was the companies that didn't make it. So you weren't losing clients. They were saying, "Hey, we want to partner with you. We want to be with you." In fact, you grew the business. I think that's an amazing thing. So let's talk about this, right? This is one of the things I love about is the philosophy of you as the founder, and I want to know, and is the business, right? So let's talk about where did this idea come from, willingness to serve versus being a service-based business, and how do you define the two, right? And what is that layer of service-based business into willingness to serve, or how would you define it, as you have for yourself and for your organization?
Yeah, a very good question. Yeah, it also starts with the partnerships that we have, and this is what I like to stress out to all of my partners, whilst being on a partner calls or whatever. I actually value the word partnership. So our partners, and there are a couple of examples, but our partners did get hit hard, and basically a partnership with your vendors is like a marriage. You're in it for the good times, but also for the bad times. So if they needed our help, we were there, and it doesn't immediately reflect it on revenue growth or whatever, but just making sure that we are in the sorry, a Dutch, so for lack of a better word, shit together, and making sure that let's keep these customers, let's keep on product innovation, and we're in it together. That was the basic thing that I wanted to get across. We're there and we're here to help. And that's actually the entire set what we have as the willingness to serve. Also for my support team, you can do support stating, okay, click there, and get it done and over with. You could also take the extra step, a step where you have the feeling, okay, this customer doesn't understand what's happening. They need some additional help. And okay, let's jump on a call, do two or three iterations more just to make you feel comfortable and move ahead. And that, once again, doesn't immediately results in a revenue growth. But you're helping each other, and this is one of my core values and basically what I learned in life. You need to be there, yeah, and you don't have to give everything away, and that doesn't mean you're a pushover. I think even the contrary, but yeah, it's in my genes, my DNA. I want to offer help and reach the dot on the horizon together.
Yeah, I love that. So it's that extra mile service, right?
Yeah.
And everyone talks about being service oriented, right? And by nature, many of our businesses are service oriented, especially when you think about what we do. But that extra layer of, are you really willing to serve? Can you go the extra mile, those small iterations, those small things to stand by, to check in? you know, it's even so much of like, hey, how are you doing, right? Like just reaching out to your clients and handling all that.
Yeah.
And so I love this idea of willingness to serve. And we talk about it. Such an easy thing to talk about and say.
Yeah, at first is acting. Yeah.
Right? But acting. Right? And so how do you, tell me a little bit, how do you, you talk about this is big, it's in your DNA, it's in your, so how do you instill that in your team, right? You've got a team of what, 30 now? Sitting around 30?
Growing, yeah. Yes. So slightly smaller, but growing.
Getting close to 30. So how do you instill that in your team on a regular basis? How do you walk the walk for willingness to serve and instilling that to your team?
This is where it became slightly more difficult. I'm a first-time founder, so basically running into brick walls and hitting my head day after day after day, so actually learning stuff. It all begins with the proper hire. So we sent out a post just recently is that we were looking to expanding the team and that we didn't care about resumes. We care about people. People. And based on that, you quite soon understand what type of person you're getting into your team. Having those calls, be blatantly honest together. And also being coached by you about the servant, the willingness to serve, our C-level team actually discovered we like to go for a servant leadership. And this is what we instill in our team members as well. They come in, they don't immediately grow to a C-level position or a VP or whatever. But if they want to grow and become, go up on the chain, they need to show themselves that they have that servant leadership DNA principle as well. That's what they need to show. And the best way to learn is to start on support. And I can tell you, I even still do support.
Essentially, you know, it starts with the way you recruit. So the way you write a job description, the way you go through the recruitment process, the way you interview your candidates, and then once you bring them in. And I love this. I mean, you know, to your point is everyone, you know, even if you bring somebody in to be the chief operations officer, chief product officer, maybe they don't do the support calls, but they sit in support meetings and they learn They listen to the customer, which is something I know everyone on your team comes in and does at some point. They sit with the support team, handle some calls and learn from the customer. And that's where that willingness to serve comes out, right? Yeah. So for those listening out there, one of these key lessons that I've loved in working with Case and the team is that, you know, having everybody listen to the customer. We talk about the voice of the customer all the time. We talk about, oh, we listen to our customers. But I always say, do you really? Has everyone on your C-level team sat in the support chair and listened to those calls and been on the phone with the customer and actually doing that job? And that changes the game of how we think about our willingness to serve not only our customers, our future customers, but our employees, our coworkers, everyone we touch. And that actually expands out. And that's one thing I love. When we talk about your team, I've helped coach the team and really focus on, you know, not teaching them how to, we're talking a lot about servant leadership and we're talking about how do we vocalize that servant leadership. And so a lot of the work that we've done really is taking the internal value of willingness to serve and how do we make that talk about that externally, which I think has been a lot of fun to see the team grow and do. And as we've been going through these conversations, you know, we've talked about team growth. You know, you're pushing up to that 30 number here soon. You're looking to hire a few more people and you're hitting this growth stage. We've got a lot of growth coming in, you know, during the last year. So talk about what are some of the challenges of scaling, right? As we've hit this growth stage, as we're looking at growth, you know, you and I have talked a lot about this one-to-one. I would love to share it with the audience here. What is one of the biggest challenges that you've had as the business goes from that quirky little Dutch startup to like, hey, we're starting to hit growth stage. We're no longer trying to be, there's two things. There's startup in the term of a startup business, and then there's like the startup culture, right? Yeah. We want to keep that startup culture to an extent. We're no longer a startup. We're trying to be a growth stage company. When you hit that, your culture changes, right? What you do at 5 is not what you do at 15 or 30. So tell me, what are some of those challenges? Let's share some lessons you've learned, you know, a little bit the hard way.
Yeah, so This is actually the hard way because I was expecting this question. I was like, okay, what challenges didn't I face? As I stated, okay, I'm the first time founder, so learning by doing. The hardest lesson that I have learned is that I definitely needed to learn to let go and delegate and show trust, also based on the servant leadership. Based on that, you can start building your team quite faster. We also decided, since we were on the growth path, growing rapidly internationally, to focus on hires on the C-level team. So we got a chief commercial officer in from Etihad Airways, more or less a more corporate guy, but feeling very comfortable with the startup culture, an experienced product officer. I founded the company with my with Peter, my the CTO. We, the both of us, once again, still being newbies, and yeah, learning our lessons pretty fast that okay, we need to get people in who can do things on other areas, specialties way more better than we can, and learn to trust them. And together as a unified front, we started to build a team. I also thought of okay, we're early stage. And this is where I disagreed with a lot of coaches. I actually got two friends, very good friends, in joining the company. One of them was like, okay, Case, we in the past we did all kinds of nice things. All of a sudden you don't have the time anymore. He was working for the government, stating, okay, Case, you know what? I've got so much leave pending. I'm stepping in. I'm coming to help you. That was amazing. And another friend is now leading, starting to lead the support team. And based on that, the trust, you can actually quite organically start growing your team. And everybody, well, still feels comfortable. We, for sure, we had our losses. There were people in the team couldn't manage sometimes the pressure and the growth, but we separated in a very, very, very cool way. Even hired him back for how do you call it, consultancy or whatever when needed. But yeah, still being friends. And yes, we're growing, and it's no longer the fun and game. Hey guys, we're changing the world. No, we're actually becoming a company that does come with standard rules and yeah, agreements, if you will. But yeah, we still need to have to keep the fun.
I love that. And you know, the some of those key lessons that were brought out is really around learning by doing, right? And so early, and you're right, as a first time founder, and there's, you know, a lot of folks who, you know, there's you see these companies that are like, oh, they're a four time startup founder or whatever. Like, that's awesome. I mean, even if a four time startup founder is gonna go through challenges on the next venture, it's never, yeah, it's things get inherently easier because you learn by doing, but there's always challenges. But I think as learn by doing, you know, as a founder, you should be wearing every hat at some point. Sales, marketing, support. Granted, you're not the best at all of that. You're not supposed to be. You shouldn't even do any of it. Sometimes, though, you should be a part of it, learning it and making sure you understand how that bigger picture works in. And then, you know, recruiting, hiring, building the right team. Bring in people that are smarter than you to do the things that need to get done. Delegate that. Right? Because a lot of founders are control freaks. They want to have their hand in everything. It's not possible. You don't have enough hours in the day. And this big piece, give trust, which ties back to servant leadership. Right? How can your employees be willing to serve our clients if they don't have the trust from you? You need to give them the trust and the space and the grace to go do their job and serve properly, right? You instill that, you teach it, talked about it from the early process, and then you instill it. So I love that. And you know, a lot of challenges, especially when you go from that startup culture into becoming a company and growing. And you know, you've had some losses with people leaving who didn't, you know, and it is, I mean, there's a book, The Hard Thing About Hard Things, talk about sometimes those that are with you early are there because they like that early. And as you start growing, they're not the same people to take you to that next level. And so there's different phases that a startup goes through. There's different personalities. Some people want to work in a startup. They come, they take a shot. Oh man, I need to go back to corporate, right? And so you see these different things happen. And so it's a big challenge, especially in your stage where
Yeah, but it's so much fun. building this.
Yeah. So I love that. So, you know, you talked about we're working internationally. You know, tell me a little bit when you, as you're kind of managing international clients, how do you go about handling that? And what are some of the let's turn around that challenge. What are some of the things that you've enjoyed about scaling internationally, and some of those lessons that you've learned that you feel has also just increased that mindset of willingness to serve?
Yeah, the growth internationally luckily came also via the partnerships. And at first stage is managing all those different time zones with a very small team. I always joked with customers, if we were on a chat or a video call like this, now if you take a look at my eyes, it will reflect the time spent on the calls. But yeah, since you're growing your company, your passion, and the entire team showing the same passion, it's some sort of a mission you're on. The proud that you have when going to New York City and have your incorporated in how do you say it? Erected, or yeah, possibly the wrong word, or incorporated. I'm still a Dutch guy, so sometimes I choose a wording that's not entirely correct. Yeah, should be some fun over there as well. And then having the proud, being so proud of your own incorporate, setting up the team there. And once again, we were thinking way too easy about this. As you stated in the beginning, we're Dutch, so we have another mindset. We're very Calvinistic, so. Don't do that large things and so just keep calm and keep being Dutch. Luckily, I'm myself. I think quite enough energy for showing the enthusiasm about the product. But soon coming to realize, okay, we need to start building international teams as well. And then reverting back to what we focused on is having the C-levels in with their own network, their own partners, making sure that we can start building teams in the US. Unfortunately, we were literally, we had the last flight out of JFK from Brussels Airlines when everything closed, and it was last year, March. But now, on the verge of hiring the first members of the team in the States, making sure that we settle that, also come to the awareness. It needs to have full attention, so there needs to be a dedicated team. We very soon realized is okay, we need to have foot on the ground there. So okay, that's gonna happen. Luckily, I love the States, so I can't wait to come back. But also based on that, also expanding to the UAE and APAC by end of this year, and basically taking the same approach.
I love that, you know, to hear, you know, you've got some international partners and growth, and then you know, having a true plan. I think a lot of companies and a lot of founders are like, oh, I'm gonna go to the US because it's the biggest market in the world. It's I should be able to pop in.
Initially, we had the same approach, and this was thanks to Belgium and meeting guys like you, saying, yeah, okay, but if you're gonna take this approach, it's up for failure.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, Valerie and Lawrence over at Belgium, you know, the whole
Yes.
reason they put this on is that they understand this too, is that everyone says, oh, US market, it's a $2 billion market. Even if we get, you know, 5%, that's, you know, multi-million. We're, you know, we're awesome. And it's like, well, do you realize that how hard that is to get 5%? You know how much competition's on the market you're fighting for? The fact that you gotta build brand awareness, brand equity, trust. Right. And so it sounds easier than it is. And so having a dedicated plan, and then also, you know, the way you're going to attack the UAE, which I know, you know, your chief commercial officer worked for a large airline in, I think it was Abu Dhabi, in Dubai. So you have those connections in the UAE. So to be able to really build out these plans, you know, and set up a clear strategy. And what founders need to understand is that when you go to a new market, especially a market like the US, you need to have a clear strategy and a clear team dedicating 100% of their time. You can do it
This is
long
actually
lines.
where we learned from you.
Yeah. You can.
Put your money where your mouth is. Show it with some customers. What we actually did, and that helped growth a lot.
Right? I mean, I'm from Missouri, the show me state. I always joke. It's like, again, and I get this as Americans. When I lived in Europe, everyone's like, oh, Americans, they're kind of boisterous. They like to bullshit a lot. And I can bullshit with the best of them, but when it comes down to it, I always, talk about is show me, right? It's don't tell me, show me. And actions speak louder than words, especially when you're a founder and you're building business, because myself included, founders, we have 1.5 million ideas. We get excited about ideas. Putting those ideas
Very
into
much so.
action,
Yeah.
tough to do. So I love it. Exciting to see, what you're building. When you look at the next 6 months, right? We look at H2 here of 2021. I know you've got, as soon as you can, trip to the US coming to get that settled. You've got the UAE coming up,
Definitely.
building. What are you most excited about 2021 for the business, for Omniboost, and things that are coming, whether it be trip,
Yeah.
product, what?
Oh, it's so much, Rob. His world is opening up. I'm so happy to see happy customers again opening their doors, either being hotels and restaurants. We've got new products launching together with a large POS vendor, where we connect multiple system. We're doing high level accounting on aggregated data set, launching insights products. There's so much pending right now, so I'm hyper about basically the entire hospitality industry, and yeah, once again doing amazing things together. And what I especially love is what I've seen happening with my team. We came up with a couple of products, and that actually are in total Unity. So we do accounting, but it's also tech, it's also F&B, and also all those strategies coming together in one ETL based data flow. And that's so amazing. So we're looking forward doing more chains, helping chains growing on aggregation data sets, and just taking another type of approach. And we stem from the finance, we come from finances, so we all that's based on finance. How much time do you spend on room cleaning versus total payout for staff? Something entirely different than only, okay, 15 minutes. It's good. And this is where you can hear the enthusiasm. We've got a POS connector. It's it's scaling as dot 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 dot. So it's going pretty fast.
So for those that can't see Case's face right now, he's like blushing with just like pure joy talking about the product side of things. And he wasn't kidding when he said he saw this idea of automation and was hooked, right? So Omniboost, their financial data integration, the reason they're called Omniboost and their logo has a rocket ship is they are building tools and tech that are boosting speed, efficiency, and helping the hospitality industry do more with less by saying, hey, we're going to save you time, energy, and effort because we're going to create better products to take something old, slow, and outdated and boring into something that you can do quickly, easily, and aggregate data. So I love hearing about that. I'm excited. So, keep an eye out for Omniboost growth. You're going to be seeing the launch of their US business unit here in the next, hopefully, 6 to 12 months. You're going to see the UAE growth in the next 6 to 12 months. They've got new products coming out on the market. So definitely a company to watch for. There's a reason that they're on a rocket ship to the next level. We talked about it. They went through early stages, banging a head against a wall, trying to figure out what to do. Issues with scaling from let's get out of being a startup to a real company, right? Kind of growing up a little bit. And now looking from growth to hyper. And if I'm not mistaken, you're seed funded right now. Is there
Correct.
plans for a raise soon? Have you talked about it? You're thinking about possibly going for a raise here in the near future at all?
Yeah, so we're definitely going for the next push. So there we have conversations going. Even got acquisition offers in. So there was a pat on the back, basically, actually showing, okay, we're doing some amazing stuff. And yes, we're going for a Series A, making sure that we're gonna push to the next level. And that actually means building the teams faster and getting more things done. Like you stated, you can do so much within a day. So there we have a definite need for but more or less more people, more hires. That's where most of the funding part is coming in for.
Love that. Well, best of luck with that, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it, but we'll definitely have to potentially think about bringing you back for round two to talk about challenges of fundraising, especially as we go from Series A, from seed to Series A. There's always the pre-seed, seed. We understand that with angel investing, and then that next level though is how do we get Series A funding, which is a whole other ball game because you have to have certain ARR set up, you have to have certain things in your due diligence process. I mean, there's it's like that level of growth from seed to Series A is a whole other conversation itself. So we'll have to talk about it at some other point. But I'm excited.
Creating.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see the growth and our listeners, for those listening in, take a look at Omniboost, follow along. I've got some big things going. So Case, I'm so glad that we've been able to be, or I've been able to be your first podcast experience and getting you on. So as you know,
Thanks.
I have some questions that I end every interview with, and so I want to hit these out with, hit, and get these for you. So I'm gonna throw you a little curveball because the first question will be a little different. If you were back at the beginning, right, and you're starting a business all over again, knowing what you know now, what would be the one piece of advice you'd give your younger self? If you could do it all over again, what's the one thing you could go back in time and tell your younger self one thing to help you build your
Don't
business,
be
what would it be?
top of mind right now. Don't be afraid. That was the part that got me stuck for quite some time. Don't want to quote Nike, but just do it. Don't be afraid. Follow your gut. Go.
Instincts, right? This is a podcast for the entrepreneur minded. And if you have, and what we've learned also from what Kay saw when they built this is that there was a need for this, right? There was a problem. They created a solution. Remember, his first kind of product idea didn't work. It didn't fit. And then somebody
No.
else said, boom, hey, this might work for this other problem solution, right? When you have an instinct that something you're building, because the conversations you're having or what you're seeing, that it's a big problem that multiple companies or multiple people in the market have, don't be afraid to explore that. Go after it. So, what advice would you give Gen Z or millennial entrepreneurs right now, those that are just starting a business, other than just do it?
Well, I got a slight variance on this one, and actually it was it's based on a graffiti I saw in New York City across a fire department. I saw a graffiti stating, "If you can dream it, do it." And I just had to take a picture because this actually is the core sentence of everything that you do. If you can think of it, you can create it. Do it.
Absolutely, right? I think, therefore I am. It's what makes us rational beings, right? Emotional beings. And so I love that. And the other thing about this is those two messages. If you can dream it, right? Do it. Don't be afraid. And what I mean by that is intentionality, right? Back to the beginning of this, when we heard Case's story, he was about to say to that guy on the golf course, I'm crushing it. And instead, he said, you know what? Things aren't going as planned. We have this great product. We don't know why it's not working. Well, maybe you're in the wrong market case, right? Intentionally speaking, how he's doing, what he's feeling is that was that moment change. Same thing as you're getting started. Be intentional, be authentic. You can dream it and you know there's a problem, go fix it, go build it. What is one book, resource, or show that you would recommend right now on future entrepreneurs or those that are thinking about being entrepreneurs should read, watch, or consume?
Yeah, for me, it was Mindset by Carol Dweck about growth mindset. And I could very easily reflect that back to the business because it isn't that bad if you make a mistake, but you need to learn to you need to learn from it. And Carol in her book actually states, okay, you've got a fixed mindset and you've got a growth mindset. And yeah, I try to teach my kids, failure isn't bad. Learn from it. Show grit. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Learn. Master it. And this was a real eye-opener for me. To shy away from the fixed mindset. Hooray for growth mindset.
I love it. You know, it's so funny that we get so afraid of certain things, but in life, you know, I come from a sport background, and when you play sports, the only way to get good, to master your craft, is to do it and fail. But when it comes to business, when it comes to life, we tend to have a fixed mindset. We're afraid to go outside our comfort zone. If you want to succeed in business, if you want to be an entrepreneur, right? We talk about there's entrepreneurship, the actual what is an entrepreneur, and there's entrepreneur mindset, right? And the mindset piece is you have to get out of here, get out of your own way, right? You need to be okay. You need to be comfortable with being uncomfortable and going explore. So I love that. And I love that book too. It's a great book. I've read it. It is like a game changer in terms of just the way you see. So Case, any last message or last words or, you know, something you want listeners to take away from this episode?
The key thing that you said it yourself already, just have faith in yourself. If you have an idea and you want to pursue it, just do it. There isn't anything bad for initial failure or whatever. Believe in yourself, and it might sound corny, but show some grit, show some perseverance, and stick to your guns. And you've got a whole bunch of people telling you that the idea is worthless and it's not going to get traction. That's the core thing that I wanted to convey. Believe in yourself, follow your dreams.
I love that, right? And you know what they say about the best laid plans, they're always going to go awry. So, you know, you need to be adaptable, and good is better than perfect, right? Get it out there, learn, iterate, test, keep going. Love it. All right, Case, that is it for the day. Where can they find you? How can people listening to this show find Case? I'm not even going to try to say your last name again because I'll mess it up again. Where can we find Case? Where should they look for you and follow you, the company? What should we be looking for you?
Mostly LinkedIn, Kees Zorgen, our website www.omniboost.io. If you ever want to come to visit us in the Netherlands, most people think they land at Schiphol and come over to us. No, we're actually more way down in the south in a rural area, but you're more than welcome. And just check out the things that are happening. Very well, New York City already there. Dubai, Singapore, keep on looking, we'll be there. We're going to be everywhere.
Baron Nation, thanks for listening to the Bare Necessities of Entrepreneurship. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave us a review.